Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I would like to welcome all of you for your fourth day of the Mana Shiksha seminar. I am very grateful that you give me this opportunity to discuss this subject. And it helps so much that you are attentive. And I want to congratulate you. It has been so far a wonderful experience, both enlightening and challenging for some of us. The Mana Shiksha is written by Raghunathas Goswami as a guidebook, a padahati, and it translates as instructions to the mind. We all know how important the mind is in our spiritual life. It can either be the best friend or the worst enemy who puts so many undesired obstacles on our path. And in Raghunathas Goswami's work, he gives us guidelines how to deal with the mind both indirectly and directly. Indirectly means we do hear about obstacles which come up on the path and how to deal with them successfully. And directly is we hear about Radha and Krishna in the land of Vrindavan, and we are getting guidelines how to think or meditate about them. Now, I have spoken with different devotees who have attended this seminar about the seminar, and I have received valuable feedback about the meditations which we do. Some have reported that it's very difficult for them to enter into a relationship with Krishna. They have not been trained previously to do this, and they have even developed a question: Is this proper? Do we do this in our movement? Others have reported that while they did the meditations, they have somehow been very easily able to visualize the content of the scriptures or of the shlokas and so on. So there are many valuable feedbacks, and I would like to say as an introduction to today's class two things which I feel are important. First of all, there is a place in our tradition for smarana, for remembrance. Shravana, kirtana, hearing, glorifying, and then remembering. Srila Rupa Goswami has quoted a verse that the whole purpose of sadhana is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the whole purpose, to be mindful of Krishna, or in a more easy translation, to be Krishna conscious. I had a very deep personal experience which convinced me to, in my own way, try to make my mind a co-operator in sadhana. It was a few years ago when I had a surgery which turned dramatic. I was released from the hospital, but then caught what is called a deadly sepsis. That's an infection all over the body. And because I didn't come back to the hospital early enough, when I finally came back to the hospital, I was already fainting. The doctors said, why did you come to so late? And then they put so much machines on me, and it became a race for dear life. There was one particular experience which I would like to share with you. It was when I finally couldn't eat any longer through the mouth, and I laid down in the bed, and the doctor said, this night will be the night where you, which decides if you will live or if you will die. So in that night, very important, beautiful night, I saw how I left the body temporarily and raced through a tunnel. I left it through a tunnel, and I raced and raced and raced. It became faster and faster. I thought, who's driving the car? There was no one. I was just leaving through what is called the nadis. And all of a sudden, came into a brilliant effulgence, a brilliant light. And in my mind, I thought, not this, not this. I'm trying to be a devotee of you, Krishna. I don't want to end in Brahman, please. This was the first mental reaction. Then I was beyond thought. I felt just very blissful and very ecstatic. Afterwards, the next morning, the nurses found me, all the artificial nourishment had been fallen out of the veins, and I had I asked them what happened in this night, and they said, you were crying and you were happy and you were throwing your arms in the air, and the doctor had instructed us strictly to not intrude, to let you have your fight for life. You know, we didn't disturb you. He said, this man is something different. He's a monk. Let him go through this in the monk way. And now, before I left. I went into this state, my dear devotees. Oh, I tried everything in my life to be Krishna conscious. I tried to chant the mantra. I chanted Gita verses. But what I found out, and this was very embarrassing and very discouraging, maybe, I couldn't make a contact. I could not, especially due to the pain and because everything was disturbed. I just couldn't remember. I failed, so to say, in what could possibly be the last exam. And I could just not remember Krishna, or Krishna did not choose to come into my mind, if you want to say like this. And when I came out of this experience, I came out with remembering Krishna. I do remember Bhujan Prabhu at that time. He had phoned me before that night, and I had told him, I'm in trouble, please pray. And he had made a photo of Radha Syam Sunda with his modern photo camera with many lenses in it, and had sent it by the computer to my secretary at that time. And I got the photo. And I got this photo only 1 day later or 2 days later. And I do remember looking at Radha Syam Sunda on the photo and just saying, please, Thank you for giving me a second chance. But please come in my heart. I can't tolerate this external spiritual life any longer. And I do remember at that time that I understood Krishna comes only in the mind by devotional service. Krishna doesn't come in any other way. So as a result of this consideration, I thought, what I will do is, in my mind, I will do kirtan for Radha and Krishna. When no one is in the temple, I will dance for them, just for them. And I'm very much convinced that because I did this as a regular practice, I was so finished still and so exhausted that I couldn't do much more. I couldn't preach by the telephone to other people and so on. I just was lying in my sweat the whole day. But I sincerely think by trying to do service for Radha and Krishna, I had this picture which helped me. I came out of this dreadful situation and I'm happy, healthy, and a little wiser. It is because of these two things. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya najatu jet. That is, always think of Krishna, never forget him. And also my practical experience in the hospital, where first I couldn't think of Krishna, and second I began to think I can think of them in a service way. I'm very committed to take the texts seriously, where Raghunath Goswami says, "Oh mind, just worship Krishna in the land of Vrindavan, together with Radharani and the gopis." Because that was something which saved my life. I got the picture of Radha and Krishna and Lalita and Vishakha, and therefore I think it works. It is good, but you have to be careful to do this within the context of your own of our own training. Training means our sampradaya, as it is handed by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, devotee means the mind. It doesn't mean he has to grow four hands. It is he has to think of Krishna. That's what a devotee is. Someone who doesn't think of Krishna, thinks of so many other things, is approaching the path of a devotee. So here in the sacred land of Vrindavan, during this retreat, we try to talk more about Krishna. We try to hear about Krishna, and we try to hear those instructions patiently, which direct our minds to think of Radha and Krishna, because it is an important project. So today we will do the tenth verse, which I think you will all like very much. It's a little bit more simple. After the ninth verse, Raghunath Goswami asked a question. Okay, so many things have been said by me, Krishna, Krishna. So many, yes, it is maybe this part, isn't it? So many things have been said to me. Now, what is the single most object of worship? I mean, one thing, please. So, this question, what is the single most object of all worship, he will answer in verse 10.
Ratim gorilele api tapati sondaya kiranai shachi lakshmi satya paribhavati Sobhagya Balanai.
He sits at Radha Kund, and his heart flows over with compassion. He wants to help all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas by directing them to the place where their worship will be easily accepted. He wants to make it simple and practical. And he continues,
Vashi Karais Chandravali Mukha Navina Braja Sati Sipatya Radyatam Lari Daita Radham Vajamanaha.
O my mind, just worship Radharani, Lord Hari's most beloved. She is greater even than Rati, the wife of Cupid, Gauri, the wife of Shiva, and Leela, the personal pastimes energy of Lord Narayan. The rays of Radha's beauty defeat Sri Sachi, this is the wife of King Indra, Sri Lakshmi, the eternal consort of Lord Narayana. Her beauty is even more beautiful than that of Sri Satyabhama, the queen of Dwaraka and wife of Krishna. And mind, the strength of her good fortune throws aside or leaves aside all the pious young girls of Braj headed by Sri Chandravali, because she has the ability to bring Sri Krishna under her full control. Prabhupada says, O brothers, I emphatically declare to you, only if Srimati Radharani is pleased with you, will you get all fortune. My dear devotees, without first approaching the Swarupa Shakti, that is the Lord's internal potency, one can never obtain the fullest aspect of the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. It's almost like when you approach the fire, first you approach the light and the warmth, that is the energy. If you approach something which looks like fire, but there is no warmth and no no warmth and no heat, then it's most probably not the fire. I remember when I was a child, I would sometimes in the winter go to the Wittenmoor, that's the swamps. Swamps means where you can sink in the water. I would go in the winter where everything was frozen. And I do remember once in a new moon night, I lost my way and I saw and I began to freeze. It was very cold. And I saw something in the distance which glowed. And I went there thinking it was fire. But there was no heat, no warmth. It was simply what you call phosphor. Is that phosphor? Phosphorus. Huh? Something which also glimmers. When there is not the energy, the heat, you will not approach the fire. Or if you don't go to the moon rays first, If you don't see first the moon rays, how will you see the moon? The moon is not even there for you. The moon is there for you through his moon rays. That's how you can see him. So Krishna's own energy, Swarup Shakti, is Srimati Radharani, and you need to make contact with her first. Therefore, she is the single most object of worship. In the beginning of Jagatarini's lecture series, she has given us a brilliant summary of Gopkumar's journey to the spiritual world. Now, in this work, there is a very interesting illustration how you can get, how you first have to contact Radharani if you want to go forward. It's very interesting. Gopkumar, who by now is in the spiritual world and is known as Swarup, one morning goes to meet Krishna. He's on his way. And it's early. Maybe the brahmanas are chanting in the village of Braj. So, on that morning, Sri Radhika Devi herself stops Swarup or Gopkumar, and Gopkumar remembers this meeting with Sri Radha and the order. He says, early this morning, Sri Radhika Devi herself came and ordered me, Swarup, there is a brahmana from Mathura. He's my devotee, and he's coming to my grove in Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan on this earth. Please go there. Go alone there. It's the first thing you do today. This brahmana doesn't know what he should know to reach here. Enlighten him with good instructions and console him, encourage him, and help him quickly attain Krishna's grace. So Gopkumar says, on her instructions, I swiftly came here in Vrindavan, overjoyed, and I didn't even think that I would miss Krishna's company that morning. And Sanatan Goswami explains this difficult subject. Imagine, Gopkumar is there to meet Krishna, to meet God. He must be very enthusiastic. He must be thrilled. And then he stopped on the way and says, don't go to the world and meet there someone. And it's a preaching assignment. So Swarup leaves Goloka Vrindavan before Krishna meets all his friends and goes to the forest. He's not there. And he does this, Sanatana Goswami says, Swarup didn't mind missing Krishna's company for one day, because he knew that carrying out Sri Radha's order would endear him to Krishna. Do you understand the word endear? It would make him very, very dear to Krishna, if he did obey Radha. And this would surely increase the happiness he enjoyed with Krishna. So, I thought this is a very, very nice, the English word is vignette, of a devotee putting Radha's order even above meeting Krishna, because he knows, in this way, I will come call the most important stage in Krishna consciousness. I will come to Radha and Krishna, where Krishna is displaying most of his qualities, where he's so full. Now, let us hear a little bit Raghunath Das's glorification of Srimati Radharani. He says, maybe some of you remember, there are three qualities which Raghunath Das Goswami mentions here, which make Radharani so special. Does anyone of you remember one of the three qualities? Yes, Adi Purusha Prabhu. Her extraordinary beauty, that's the first quality, which is more beautiful than the beauty of all, even the wife of the God of Love. You can imagine that God of Love has picked a very beautiful wife, most probably. What is the other quality of Srimati Radharani? Yes, the ability to control Krishna. Thank you very much. So we need one more. Yeah, someone of you said good fortune, but everything what you said, compassion and so on, is also correct. But here, Raghunath Goswami starts praising Radharani by mentioning her beauty. Do you know when someone is beautiful in the spiritual way? What is the index by which beauty is measured? In the spiritual world, it's the amount of love. Krishnadas Kaviraj says, the body of Srimati Radharani is a veritable transformation of love of Godhead. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna. This is known throughout the world. My dear devotees, Radha carries the greatest amount of love for Krishna. And it is this love which comes out of every pore of her being and pours through the forest of Vrindavan. There are different devotees with different degrees of love. And it is this love which makes them differently beautiful. There is the love which is called Anu, the love which is called Apekshika Nyunadika Maya, Mahan love and Parama Mahan love. Now the Anu love, this is interesting, is the love of ordinary devotees who have an anu, or an atomic particle of love for God. This is the case for me, that at least there is an atomic particle. Then, there is the second degree, this devotees like Narada, who have more or less love. Yeah, something more is there. But it is also not so superlative compared with others. And then there are the Brajavasis, like Nanda Yashoda, Subal, Lalita and the Ashtasakis, whose love is described to be Mahan, great. But only, this is the only one personality whose love is described Parama Mahan, topmost. This is Srimati Radharani, who has the greatest love for Krishna. Therefore, she is also the most dear to him. So how much Krishna appreciates Radha is expressed in a Vishakhanandika Bicha Stotram. It's written by Raghunath Goswami, where he gives different examples. He says, Krishna's heart is like the Manasa Sarova, and Radha is like the swan who swims on the lake of his heart. Isn't that a beautiful comparison? I think you all have a heart which is a lake, but there are sometimes things swimming there which we don't want. to be there. Plastic bottles, you know, that is, we think of our computer, that's like a plastic bottle. Or we embarrassingly think of a person and we don't want to think of that person either in hateful ways or in attached ways, or, you know. So Krishna's heart is like a vast, vast lake. The Manasa Sarova Lake, it's the biggest of all lakes and the most, it's a very highly placed, it's on the foot of Kailash. It's very, very special. It's the topmost of lakes. It's the highest, you don't find a higher lake in this world. And there is a swan swimming, a Rajahansa. That is Radharani. Krishna says, Krishna feels, I'm so much, Radha is so much my beloved, that I feel towards her like the thirsty Chataka bird feels, who has not drunken anything for maybe half a year, who now flies to the rainwater. Radharani is the rainwater for me, which fulfills my heart with love. And very, very, very nicely, this is said how Krishna appreciates Radharani in the stotra. There are many comparisons. If you want, you can read in your own reading form. And why does he like Radha? Because Radha is all throughout Mahabhava, a unique type of love which only she has, not even the other gopis. Not even the other gopis. Therefore, she is Krishna's beloved. Another quality was her good fortune. A good fortune is if Krishna remembers you. Now, there is a part in our scriptures where Krishna, who has left Vrindavan, is in Dwaraka, and he is together with one of his prime queens, Satyabhama. And in the night, Satyabhama wakes up because Krishna in his dreams calls out, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And in the morning, she wakes up her husband and says, who is this Radharani? Can you explain to me? She must be the most fortunate person because in your dreams you call out for her. Another queen, Rukmini, this is explained in the Adi Purana, once heard by her messengers that Srimati Radharani, after so many years, had come with her gopis to Dwaraka to meet Krishna and took her bath there and in a lake before Dwaraka. And Rukmini hears all this. There is a queen on a carried by the gopis. It goes to Krishna and says, can you tell me about this personality? Krishna has tears in his eyes and said, her qualities are simply indescribable. But you will know about her love for me. She is from Vrindavan. Please greet her by bringing her through your servants a glass of milk. So Rukmini says, what? There is someone who is so dear to Krishna and he now wants to welcome her with a glass of milk. She's from Vrindavan. I don't know what this means. And she goes in the kitchen and she feels a little jealousy because she wants to be the dearest to Krishna and cooks the milk deliberately very hot and sends this boiling milk through messengers to Radharani with the instruction, tell her this is from Krishna. So Radha is in her tent. The messengers come and say, there's milk. Radha is not very impressed, not interested. Then they continue, milk from Krishna sent to welcome you. Radharani's heart stirs and she immediately takes the milk, boiling milk, and pours it or drinks it without even noticing the boiling milk, that it boils. Now in the evening, Krishna sits in his palace and Rukmini comes to do her evening service. She massages his lotus feet. And she understands, and she sees there are blisters on his feet. She has never seen blisters on Krishna's feet. Because Krishna has a Sachit Ananda body. He doesn't get blisters, or, you know, like we get who have a body of material matter which gets strained when we walk too long. So he says, "My Lord, you have blisters. How comes?" Krishna looks at her and says, "What is it to you? You created the blisters on my feet with your boiling hot milk." "For what? I certainly didn't pour milk over your feet." Then Krishna explains, "You cooked this milk boiling hot. And no wonder when Radha heard it's from me, she immediately, without considering and tasting the milk, drank it. But because she always holds..." First of all, I have to ask, have you ever drunken something which is too hot? Where do you feel the pain? Well, on the tongue, that's right. But then you feel it in the heart. Some pain comes in the heart area. No, have you not? Yes, or men also? Yeah, they don't drink something too hot, it seems. Have you? It's somehow, it's almost like a pain which numbs the heart, and you feel. But then it's over. The burn stays only on the tongue, not on the heart. So Krishna said, because she always carries my feet in her heart, the burn which came from your hot milk burnt my feet. This is where the blisters came from. You have created them. This is Radha. So this means good fortune. You have to have always Krishna in the heart. Woo! You are this is the greatest good fortune if you can always remember Krishna, never forget her. That's why she is higher in category than Sachi, Lakshmi, Satyabhama even. And the last is, which Raghunath Goswami says, her ability to control Krishna. In the same work, Vishakananda Bhiksha Stotram, it says, by using the mystic power of her intense love for Krishna, Radha's mystic power is her intense love for Krishna, she has brought him completely under control. And Krishna himself once expressed this to Radha. I think you need to hear this, how the divine couple feel for themselves. Imagine Krishna going to Radha and now pouring his heart out. He says, "Oh, listen, O Radha, I'm fully under your control. I'm unable to think of anyone but you. When I repeat your name, Radha, and meditate on your form, I just cannot remain patient. And when from anywhere I hear the words, Sri Radhe, Sri Radhe, my mind runs in the directions from where these words came. Krishna has thought of you today. Because from your mouth the words came. My mind runs to the direction from where I hear the word Sri Radhe, Sri Radhe. Crying and crying, I lift my face and loudly call for Radha. Only then my life is saved. You know, I wait for you. I don't like Vrindavan if it is without you. I like Vrindavan only because of you. So, my dear devotees, this is Radharani. This is the glories of Radharani. She has Krishna fully under her control. She is the most fortunate. And she is the most beautiful. It's all because of her love for Krishna. All because of this single Maha, what was it called? The love. Mahabhava or Parama. Her love is Parama Mahan. So I want to now ask a question. There are many qualities, but I jump over it. How to attain Srimati Radharani's mercy? I want to ask this question in a very, with two thoughts in my mind. Some devotees who have heard new subjects in the last two verses will ask themselves, my God, where is this lecture going to? Does he want to make Raganuga devotees out of us? Because how do we deal with these subjects which we have heard? My dear devotees, in the path of cultivation of Krishna consciousness, there are two strands. One is the strand of cultivation. It means mental cultivation. And the other strand, and we are not trained in this in detail. But the other strand of cultivation is to plead for the mercy. And you might ask on what strengths I'm saying this. A path of cultivation is in Mana Shiksha. There are paths where the sadhaka is instructed in a certain path of sadhana. But Rupa Goswami tells us of another padati. Padati means a path of spiritual cultivation, which is called the Pratana Padahi, or a path whereby which you pray for mercy. And it is this path which has also been instructed by Raghunatha Goswami in the 8th verse. You remember how he prays with a voice choked with emotion and says he is so wicked and dishonest, but still he pleads? My dear devotees, we and in our movement, and I can only breathe the sighs of relief, are more instructed in this. And this path of pleading for mercy, you need three qualities which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes if you want to be successful. I will tell them to you. I will not withhold them, like I withhold a few things. But I first want to give you a beautiful, this padati, which is this pleading for mercy. It starts with a glorification of Srimati Radhika. Radharani is glorified in the first four verses. And then Rupa Goswami describes, I'm bowing down. I beseech you with a stammering, pitiable cry. You know, he can't even speak properly. O Queen of Vrindavan, see me, I'm rolling on the ground on the bank of the Yamuna River with a very troubled heart. So he enters the mood called Dainya, absolute humility. And he then speaks his heart. I am unfit. I'm an offender. I'm so wicked. I have a crooked mind, not very straight. But now, I asked of you something. Please bestow a small fragment, a little bit, of the valuable gift of your service to this person. Earlier, Rupa Goswami has said, not even the greatest souls, the Mahatmas, get direct service to Radha. Why should this gift, which is withheld from the most qualified people, be given to the most unqualified? And here he gives the explanation. It's an explanation why the path of mercy can work. He says, you know, Radha, such a sorrowful person is not fit to be neglected by you. For isn't your mind like fresh butter, which melts from the warmth of your compassion? In the same way, all our acharyas, they actually plead, aren't you the emblem of compassion? Isn't it known throughout the scriptures that you are compassionate? And is compassion not that movement of the heart which is given by a superior to an inferior person? So I am most inferior. So shouldn't your compassion towards me extend even to me? Am I not qualified? Because when someone is very low, the compassion is great. Just, I don't know if you have done Dandavat, Govardhan Parikrama, who has done on Sunday? On Sunday you find the best of beggars. There's a family of beggars. I know them very well. They are businessmen beggars. They lie there. First comes the child, and it has a terrible wound on the arm. Then comes the father. He has a more terrible wound on the feet. Then comes another person. Now, those of you who have seen films, they know this is film wounds, you know. But because they know, the more the wretched condition is there, the easier it is to get the compassion. So, my dear devotees, if you want to go the path of obtaining undeserved mercy, the first thing, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is you must have an unpretentious humility. Do you know this word, unpretentious? I think you all know pretension, or to pretend. That's something. I'm talking because many are not English speaking with the mother tongue. When you show act or show play something you are not. This is a big, 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 big thing. This type of thing, unpretentious humility, is not easy to come by. You can see if someone has unpretentious humility, or if you have unpretentious humility, by the degree in which you can tolerate others' misgivings, other things. Everyone can do, I'm very humble, I'm very fallen, Prabhu, I'm very dean, I'm very, very humble, don't you see? It's very easy to learn the humble vocabulary. You need to have 20 words and everyone believes you. But it's so difficult to be tolerant if someone steps on your toe. There you can see a tolerant devotee who, even if he is wronged, goes on without protest. He is the humble, unpretentious humility. He has. The second thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions is, if you want to go the path of mercy, and my dear devotees, I think, what do you feel? Isn't that a very relevant path for us? Cultivation. I mean, we are not trained and it requires so much discipline and we have the wrong sangskaras. Mercy is better when it comes from up. You must have an intense hankering for it. Some of us are cold, so cold in their heart, like cold water. You have to put some heat in your practice so that there is an intense hankering, boiling. And the third qualification for someone who wants to place his life on the path of mercy is one-pointed focus upon the goal. You can't be many-branched. It must mean something for you. And if you bring these three qualities to the table, then you will very, very easily obtain the mercy of Sri Mati Radharani, because her heart melts with compassion. But you need to become free from pretense. You need to be honest. And you need to have an intense hankering, and you need to be one-pointed. That's your goal. So, Krishna, I feel something special will happen. Let me just ask Sachi Devi. Is Sachi Devi here? We will now sing the Maha Mantra may I ask, I found these prayers in your cupboard, in a plastic bag called For Me. Is it really for me, or do you keep, is it for you or for me? Maybe this, I shouldn't ask this in public. Did you keep them for a certain purpose? I know Sachi, she won't tell me in public what it is. No, this is not how I work. I won't steal from you. This is very embarrassing. I did something wrong. Did you keep them for a program? Yes or no? No. Good. So, after this presentation, you can come forward. There is a limited amount. And get this wonderful prayer for Srimati Radharani's mercy. And if you pray it with these three qualities, wow, your Vrindavan thing is that this prayer is translated in a language which says Udova slatniji od chishtok slata sa ochimi puput srini isa usnama koche poracha vodju milujune. So whatever language that is, that's it has two languages, so you can understand in two languages. Good. I would like to now chant with you the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then in the midst of it, I will request you to sit straight and to just and to close your eyes and listen to a particular description of Krishna playing the flute given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now I think because this book is on instructions to the mind, how the mind should think, we should try it a little bit. Now if you don't want to meditate for some reason, no need. You can just close your eyes and listen attentively to the verses.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Please turn around to Giriraj and sing for him. This is the last exercise for today. So you please see Giriraj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
request you to sit tall now. For better concentration, kindly close the eyes. Sometimes Krishna is on Govardhan and plays his flute. Krishna rests his left cheek on his left shoulder in order to vibrate the gamakas in the ascending and descending notes of the ragas he plays. He rests the flute against his lower lip and he makes his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subal and others to the skill of his song. His gentle smile exudes an incomparable brilliance. Because Krishna in Vrindavan never works hard, his lotus petal-like fingers are soft, and the tips of these fingers are slightly indented as they press against the wood of the flute. Sometimes, while playing his wonderful flute song, he manifests the Jnana Mudra, deeply absorbed in thoughts of his here dear devotees. Krishna remains silent, unable to speak in the language of words. Only the flute sweetly sings. Please open your eyes and look at Giriraj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Na Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Ah Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Shyam.
Hare Krishna. Let me summarize. In the 10th verse, this is the verse which we have dealt with today, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami is pointing the attention of the devotees to Srimati Radharani. He makes it very concrete, the bhakti. What is the single most object of worship for the devotees? And he answers the question, Srimati Radharani, who excels by her beauty, her good fortune, and her ability to bring Krishna under control. Krishna is independent. The things of the spiritual world are independent. We need to know about the channels, how to come in contact with them. It is known that in this world, the spiritual master is the representative of either Srimati Radharani or Nityananda. Coming under the shelter of the divine energy, coming under the shelter of Srimati Radharani, is a subject matter which I would like to discuss more tomorrow with the wonderful Krishna Katha, which tells to us how we need the devotee to come and make contact to this wonderful spiritual domain. Tomorrow, we will hear of the unfulfilled hope of the rivers of Vrindavan and how their hope was finally fulfilled. It's from the Bhagavatam. For today, I would like to end a little bit earlier, but there's one thing which remains to be done. We have a wonderful devotee amongst us, Asit Krishna Prabhu, a long-term resident in this valley of Giriraj, who is also the temple president of this place. And I sincerely want to ask you, despite that you have such a high position, if you are willing to distribute these prayers for the devotees, if they can approach you. This is our Asit Krishna Das. You see his personality glowing with bhakti. And he will stand here. For now you can sit here. Krishna, Krishna. I would like to conclude this session by thanking you very much that you were today here for the presentation of Srimati Radharani. I do hope that the question which I have raised at the beginning has been answered, and you all feel comfortable and know where the things which we do here are to be placed. Also, very eager to again and again say with great emphasis, our good fortune can be obtained really by mercy. And here is a wonderful prayer which will melt the heart of Srimati Radharani. Already it is melting, but something which you can look at. And then if you have looked at it, tomorrow we will end it. But it's easier if you look at it first. Then it's easier to chant the Sanskrit. Okay, so before this microphone or cable dies, thank you very much and all the best for you. And don't forget, we have one more full day before us, and then the next day is the concluding day. So please retain your energy and focus. Hare Krishna, Jai Siddhartha, Haribo.